aren't talking jobs here or the opportunity to get yourself a job. We're talking to Andrea Sittig-Roll, and she's an entrepreneur, sales trainer and strategist, author and founder of Sittig Incorporated, and she's here to discuss how to rev up your resume. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mark. Happy to be here.
Well, we just got a grim look for our future. Is there any jobs going to be out there for us if we're looking for?
Well, absolutely. But the key is you may actually have to create the job rather than try to find one that exists.
Now, I was looking at some of this information, and I did find that interesting as to how you do teach some techniques to go in and more or less sell yourself on the fact that you want this job and they might not have it. But you're going to convince them to create that for you? Is that how I read that right?
Yes, absolutely. So the idea with this is you want to become an invaluable resource to the company that you'd like to work for. And so the way that you do that is you go online, you do some research, you find out about them, what are their initiatives, what's their mission statement, what are the things that they value and the things that are important to them. And then you begin to develop a relationship with the folks over there, and you start to just share some ideas. Look at what's happening in the news. Look at who their customers are. You know, how do they go to market? Really get to know that company, and then start to kind of come up with some ideas that will help that company succeed, whether it's how that company can drive sales, how they can, reduce costs, increase their profitability, become more competitive, whatever it is. And you want to start just feeding ideas to the company. And what happens is that over time, the people that you're talking to over there go, wow, this Mark guy sure has some good ideas. You know, we should really get him in here and, you know, have a conversation and find out what he's doing. And, you know, maybe he's looking for work. And so what I've found in the people that actually do this is that they will cut their unemployment time by about half.
Now, are you talking about maybe visiting with them outside of a job interview per se, or are you talking about while you are there for the interview?
I'm talking about before it even gets to the interview, before it even gets to the place where it would even be an interview.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of a strange way to think about it, but there are a couple advantages to applying for a job that doesn't exist and creating that job. One is, if it doesn't exist, nobody else is applying for it, so you have no competition.
Right.
The other thing is, if you can really do a good job selling yourself and the value that you bring to that organization, you can negotiate a decent salary. Because, again, if the job doesn't exist, they don't know what it's worth. So it's up to you to go in and really kind of sell them on the idea of, you know, the value of that position and how it's going to affect the bottom line of that organization.
Now, when you're selling yourself, there is, I guess, a fine line in confidence and arrogance,
yes.
Maybe? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. You want to be confident and, be able to speak to some of your accomplishments, maybe be able to talk about some of the projects and things you've done for former employers, really give some proven results about a project you did, something, a program that you created maybe on your own, and talk about that. I don't think there's anything arrogant in doing that, but it is a fine line, and a lot of it is the way that you're presenting it and the way that you're talking about it.
Now, I don't want to sound like I'm too much out of the loop, but I guess they still use resumes, don't they?
Yeah.
And how important is that resume?
It's still really important, but I think that the resume needs to be more focused around results and accomplishments than it does job history and qualifications. Some of the suggestions that I have are things like, at the very top of the resume, why not include a quote or a testimonial from a former employer? Maybe somebody sent you an email congratulating you at the place you used to work, saying, wow, job, great job. Really enjoyed working with you on such and such a project. This really impacted our bottom line. Whatever it may be, you include that right at the top of the resume, and then that's the first thing that this potential employer is going to see, is a comment, a positive comment about what someone else has had to say about you. And then what you really want to focus on in the first part of the resume is just some bullet points on some results and some accomplishments. And as much as you can talk about use percentages, use dollar amounts, be very specific in results. I increased my former employer's productivity by 25%. A project that I did for them saved them over $100,000 a year. Things like that, mm-hmm. that are just, they're boom. I mean, that is going to make somebody interested in reading the rest of your resume, which can include the traditional things like qualifications and skills and training.
And, of course, quality is necessary in a resume. You don't want to come in with a one that's as thick as a dictionary.
Right. Yeah, be a little unique, be a little different. I don't recommend it scented paper, you know,
no,
things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you've seen the movie Legally Blonde, you know,
yeah.
she's giving pink scented, you know, resume. No, I don't recommend that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with making it a little fun and a little different. You sort of have to, you're really the commodity in all of this, and you've got to stand out and set yourself apart from everybody else. And so, you know, in being creative in the way that you present your resume, that's one more way of showing the potential employer that you're a creative person, for example. Yes, you're giving them some data and some information, but the more subtle, you know, message that you're conveying is that, hey, I'm a creative person, and, you know, look at the way that this is organized, for example.
Now, you've trained thousands of sales professionals, and I guess maybe the training that when you're talking to salespersons yourselves, some of these techniques are applied the same for a person who's trying to sell themselves to a prospective employer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess if you were looking at a sales profession, I would ask you, what would you tell professionals how to sell in a tight economy as it is right now? What some of the techniques or tools that you would give them?
Well, you mean for a sales professional who's looking for a job as a sales professional?
Yes, or even trying to sell their own company to prospective clients.
Well, part of it might seem obvious, but one of the most basic things you can do is what I call just do the numbers. You know, there's definitely a science when it comes to sales. So, for example, one of the numbers that I find often in my training is that for every 10 times you dial the phone, you'll typically connect with 3 decision makers, and from those 3 decision makers, you'll get 1 or 2 appointments to meet with that decision maker, and then, you know, the numbers go from there in terms of how many proposals and how much you sell and what it's worth. So it might be that, yeah, this is a tight economy. It may be that all that means is that you just have to work harder. So maybe instead of making 10 dials to reach 3 decision makers, maybe you have to make 20. But the numbers will still work. You just have to work a little bit harder and do more of the things that work.
So in essence, it's kind of like baseball because they don't knock it out of the park every time they're up to bat. There's a few swings in there before they actually connect.
Absolutely. And a lot of what sales is, and this is kind of the part of sales that I really love, is you're sort of a detective. You know, you've got to kind of make your way through an organization. You've got to find the right decision maker. You've got to, you know, develop relationships and get leads and referrals. And that can be kind of fun. That whole process can be kind of fun. And sometimes it can lead to things that you just would have never thought of. But because you were willing to do the work and do the hard thing, like pick up the phone and call a perfect stranger, which, you know, most people would rather die than do that. But if you're, you know, gutsy enough to do that, it's amazing some of the opportunities that you can uncover. And that's another thing that shows an employer your skill set. I mean, imagine if you call a potential employer, somebody that's looking to hire a great salesperson, you cold call them, so they go, wow, okay, this person knows how to cold call. You know, maybe you've left them an effective voicemail message that gets them to return the call. And that's one more little audition. Oh, wow, this person sure knows how to leave a good voicemail. Maybe you know how to overcome their objections. Maybe they're giving you objections and you're overcoming them and you're still getting the meeting. You know, so these are all, I mean, especially I think in sales jobs, you're being tested. So much of what's happening in that process is that you're being tested so that the potential employer can see how you're going to behave on a sales call.
Now, in regards to trying to get a job at a company or a business, and you're trying to sell yourself and convince them that you are the right person for that job, what would you say is one of the more common mistakes or pitfalls that people still sort of stumble from in an interview?
Well, I think part of what can happen is sometimes you end up talking too much. I mean, I understand you know, you want to talk and you want to tell your story, but I think it's really important to ask questions. And I know that back when I was a regional sales manager, at the end of the interview, if I would say, well, do you have any questions for me? If they would say no, that was pretty much okay. That's file 13. I mean, that's not somebody I'm gonna follow up with. So, as somebody that is looking for a job, as a job seeker, you want to have some questions ready to ask during that interview, because part of that shows your interest in working for the company. You know, they want to know that you're interested, that you want that job, and by the types of questions that you ask, that's also going to be telling for them to understand sort of how your mind works. So have some questions prepared ahead of time. Now, I don't necessarily recommend going in with a clipboard and having them all typed out and saying, okay, now I got a few questions for you.
Exactly.
You don't necessarily want to do that, but just in the back of your mind, just have some questions that you're going to ask at the end of the interview.
And you want to give the impression, not while you're sitting there chomping your gum, giving the impression that you're just looking for somewhere to get a paycheck, that you really want to contribute to that business and that you would be a great addition to it.
Yes, absolutely. And that sort of goes back to this idea that we talked about earlier of really going after, finding a job that you'd be interested in doing, and then seeking out an employer where that job would make sense, and then again, whether they're hiring or not, because there's something about that company or that industry that you are passionate about and could get really excited about. And that's another thing that really comes across, I think, during the interview process, is your energy, your enthusiasm, your attitude. Those are all things that they're looking for, too, that they're really not going to see on a resume.
Is it proper etiquette or appropriate to ask if they'd be a follow-up or a second interview?
Yes, that's absolutely. In fact, what's interesting you say that, one of the things I teach in my sales training program is the purpose of a meeting is to get another meeting. If you've left that sales call or if you've left that interview and you haven't closed the deal, so in this case they haven't made you an offer on the spot, then you don't want to leave until you have a follow-up planned with that potential employer, and whether it's to have another meeting with them or to have a phone call, but not to just say, oh, I'll call you next week, but to say, gosh, I'm real interested, would love to find out what the next step is, when might we talk again, and then get a date and a time, a very specific date and time when you're either going to meet again or when you're going to talk again.
So once again, being assertive but not overbearing, you're still tiptoeing some thin lines there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is. There's a fine line for sure.
Okay. Now, you've written several books, and your latest book is Rev Up Your Resume, Revolutionize, Revitalize, Rev Up Your Resume, A Manual for Landing Your Dream Job. And if somebody certainly wanted to get their hands on the book, how would they do that?
Just go to revyourresume.com.
That's simple, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, any other tips or hints or information that you'd like to leave us with today?
Well, one thing we didn't get to, and I'll just be real brief, we talked a little bit about resumes, but also what I talk more about in the book is something where I talk about creating an accomplishments portfolio. So rather than just one or two pages, you're actually putting sort of a brag book together. And again, a little bit of a fine line, right, between being, assertive and aggressive versus, overly confident. But that's just something to think about, your accomplishments portfolio. What are some of the things you've accomplished that you might want to share with a potential employer?
Now, with Photoshop or whatever it is right now, is it okay to, on your accomplishments portfolio, to have pictures maybe of things that you either built or did or was associated with? You don't want to get... you don't want to junk it up too much, but is it all right to have pictures that reflect what you did?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, what's the phrase? A picture's worth a thousand words. I mean, that says a lot. If what you've done in the past, if you've been able to accomplish something where there is a physical, where it's something you could actually take a picture of, then absolutely I would include that.
Hmm. Okay. And of course, all this is in your book, Rev Up Your Resume.
Yeah, Rev Your Resume. I'm known for having really long titles. The full title is Revolutionize, Revitalize, and Rev Your Resume, Create Your Accomplishments Portfolio, and Land Your Dream Job.
That's
revyourresume.com, and you'll find it.
Yeah, that'd be the easy way to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you.